Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be looking at a recent announcement from Adshore Services. We're going to be diving in to their TIA Insight artificial intelligence tool. We're going to be looking at what it means for the company, what it means for their clients, and how it fits into Adshore Services' wider strategy. And to do that, we're very kindly joined today by Kevin Lim, who is the CEO of Adshore Services. Kevin, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
As I said, Kevin, this podcast is going to be focused on the announcement that you put out this week. We're going to be delving into the product and service that you're working on, which is going to be used internally for TIA Limited, your operating subsidiary. But before we get into it, Kevin, I think for listeners that maybe aren't aware of Adshore Services, it would be good if you could give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself, as well as Adshore Services, please.
Absolutely, Jonathan. So I've been the chief executive of Adshore Services since it floated on the Aquis Stock Exchange back in October 2023. Adshore Services is the parent holding company of one wholly owned principal trading subsidiary, TIA Limited. TIA Limited has been trading for, 30 years actually this year, later in June, and is a specialist provider of business assurance services to the UK public sector. So what do I mean when I talk about business assurance services? Well, principally, I mean assurance-based product services such as internal audit, fraud prevention, digital and cyber support, and a number of other advisory and governance risk management related services. Prior to taking on the role as chief executive of Adshore, was the chief executive of TIA and have worked within that business now for approaching 15 years.
Thank you very much. And for anybody who would like to know a little bit more information about Adshore Services and recent results, go and check out their website. But the topic for this podcast is going to be the announcement this week on the development for TIA Insight, Kevin. So we're going to be running through the grant process from Innovate UK, what the tool is designed to do. But to start with, Kevin, could you give us a brief overview of TIA Insight, please?
Absolutely. So the concept behind TIA Insight is to create a suite of innovative tools, making use of latest modern technology, particularly artificial intelligence, to supplement the skills that we have within our staff or employment base to really add and maximize the value that we can provide to our clients. The idea behind the project is to provide additional commercial differentiator within our marketplace, but also to enable us to do more with the resources that we have. As a profession, internal audit particularly is a difficult market to recruit within. There is a finite number of internal auditors within the country, and we have separate schemes in place to train and build our own workforce. But to supplement this and to enable us to make better use of those resources, as an organisation, we're keen to invest in technology to help us maximise those outputs.
TIA received a Innovate UK grant to fund the development of TIA Insight. It'd be good if we could start by looking into that process. You know, what do they like about your plans? And when you're looking at TIA Insight, what was the process that you went through to get that grant in the first place? And how has that progressed since receiving?
Yes, absolutely, Jonathan. So Innovate UK, as some of your listeners may understand already, but just to provide some context, provide grant funding to principally SMEs within England to help to stimulate growth and development within those organisations, whether that's investing in innovative technology capabilities, a wide array of different types of ways and mechanisms of providing that funding. TIER, in partnership with the University of Essex, were successful in securing grant funding for a type of project known as a KTP, which is a knowledge transfer partnership. And so the way that program works is that the University of Essex recruits and then second a KTP associate to TIER to help develop and build, in this instance, the TIER Insight tools. It's a fantastic model, really, because it creates an environment for TIER that is low risk in terms of investment, because 66%, give or take, of the KTP associate and development costs are covered by the grant funding, with TIER paying the other third. But we also then get access to the significant range and capabilities within the academic departments at the University of Essex to support our KTP associate. At the end of the project, TIER will own all of the IP for the project, then the tools that have been developed, has the right to retain through recruitment the KTP associate. And in exchange for that, there have to be two pieces of published research that are produced by the academic team and the KTP associate during the life of the project. And I suppose just then, finally, to be clear, is the project is a 3-year project. And this current announcement summarizes the end of just over our first year's activity.
And we're going to delve into some of that activity now, Kevin, if we may. So from my understanding, because this is really the first detailed announcement on TIER Insight, it has been alluded to, and anybody following actual services will see mention of it in prior announcements, but we do get quite a lot of detail in this announcement. So from my understanding, it's an artificial intelligence large language model technology that you're harnessing. It would be good to get an idea of what has been developed so far and what are the main goals for the technology.
Absolutely. So the work at this moment in time has been based upon looking at the company's internal databases, both structured and unstructured data, to look at how best algorithms can be built and trained upon those data sets to help support the professional decision making that our operational staff undertake within their day-to-day activities. So principally what we're looking at here within the Insight tools is the largest item within there is a tool which will work to analyze and assess the level of risk that's identified within an organization, and then to support the auditor in identifying the best mitigation strategies to deploy for that organization to best offset any risks that have been identified through the work that's been performed. On top of that, there are smaller tools which are at different stages of development and design, which will be there to support the knowledge and understanding of our auditors. So there are significant levels and layers of regulation and legislation that have to be considered in a wide array of different areas and different sectors. And so being able to deploy AI technology, LLMs particularly, to analyze some of this information and to provide clear guidance back to somebody can save significant amounts of operational staff time in the performance of their duties.
So one of the big things with large language models, Kevin, is that, you know, the training and the data that it's trained on and the information that it has at its disposal. What makes TIER Insight unique and a unique tool within the marketplace?
In a lot of cases, one of the principal challenges with deployment of this technology is that you cannot run this through open source models. So the large language models that people are going to be most familiar with that you can drop into via a search engine or anywhere else are not sufficiently restricted and confidential to enable sensitive information to be put through them. Therefore, for us to be able to fully deploy that type of technology within our services, we have to be able to build something internally within our infrastructure so that those sort of queries can be passed through the model. As an internal audit provider for, as I said, over almost 30 years of trading history now, TIA has a significant database of historic activity, of risk identification and mitigation strategies. And so a lot of the first year of the project has worked at looking at how to train and develop a model based on our internal data sets. And where we're now at is a position where we can actually start to move to test the outputs of the model in a form of, I suppose, what you would call blind testing. So we have a human response to a risk that's been identified. We have the AI response to the risk that's been identified. And if we run that in a blind fashion, we can then have independent validation of which of the two is stronger, or if there is no real way of determining one from the other. And at that stage, we can start to get to a point of end user confidence in the outputs of the model. That means that we can move on to the next stages of testing.
Thank you. So my next question, Kevin, there may be some commercial sensitivities around it, because with the markets that you're operating in and the speed of AI, there will be a race among your peers to develop a similar tool. But the question is here, what are the specific processes TIA Insight will be deployed to carry out, if you're able to share any of those?
So I think a good example of this, if we're going to get into specifics, would be one of our auditors is performing tests and checks on the integrity of a particular system or process within a system. And in performing that work, they identify a number of non-conformances. Now, without the technology, that auditor would then be required to assess the risk that's posed by those non-conformances, potentially then have to then work through and consider what would be the best strategy to stop those non-conformances happening again in the future. And in some cases, dependent on the experience and the exposure that the auditor may have had to that particular environment, that particular system, or that particular market, that can be quite a complicated task. Now, because we have this rich historic data set, there's an ability for us to deploy the Insights tool to support the judgment that the auditor makes. So the auditor can feed it the outputs in terms of the non-conformances that's identified and identify the particular area, system or process that's been under review. And the Insight tool will be able to come back and provide its assessment of the best strategy to avoid those non-conformances happening again in the future. Now, clearly, we have to have safeguards, checks and balances with any artificial technology that we make use of in the world today. So this is only a guide, if you will, for the auditor. But in many cases already, I can see clear evidence from the limited testing that we've done so far that this will be of significant benefit to a large number of our staff and drive efficiencies in the time it takes them to make these judgments when doing work for our customers.
Thank you, Kevin. So, I mean, that's a really clear example there of an individual being able to do a task a lot quicker. And, you know, it really brings in the question about, you know, one of the big fears about AI is it comes in and replaces human workers. What's your view on that? And how are you viewing TIA Insight being integrated into TIA and the impact it will have on the company?
I have always been a very big fan of trying to make use of every tool that you can possibly have at your disposal. But that does not mean that those tools are there to stop that person or the person deploying the tools to be needed to deploy them in the future. I'm a big believer in one of the things that stands, actually, just to take a step back here, tier out within its competitive landscape, is the level of seniority of staff that we can deploy to our customers and the level of direct engagement they can receive from those senior staff. And so anything I can do to make them more efficient in the time that they spend with their clients is going to be a benefit. But I do not believe it would be beneficial to entirely remove the process of any human interaction. So Tier Insight and its development, not just immediately, but in the longer term, is always going to be aimed at supplementing the capabilities of professionally trained and qualified staff, not to take them from the workplace. So the more customers they can interact with, the more work that they can perform, the better for us as a company and the better for our customers, because we're able to provide them with a richer, broader skill set and tools and techniques to keep them, well, ahead of the risks that they face.
That's a really interesting point there. You still need the human in the loop, but it just means, as you touched on there, they can probably deal with more tasks, more clients, and that should improve business performance. That's a really interesting point there, Kevin. But I'm looking forward now, and you're obviously going through testing at the moment, and the plan is to then deploy, from my understanding, within Tier Limited. But of course, if this is hugely successful, there could be bigger opportunities. I don't know whether this is in your thinking at the moment, but my question is here, you know, what could the future hold for Tier Insight? Do you see it possibly as a revenue generating piece of software, as opposed to a software that's deployed within the organization to improve efficiencies? Is it something that you could offer to companies outside of Adshore going forwards?
The simple answer to that is yes, it is. I think we need to be clear that initially the primary objective of the funding was to enable competitive edge within the organisation. So what we would need to consider once we have fully deployable tools is the extent to which, either on a restricted allocation or specific elements of those tools could be potentially shared on a license basis with other people within the market. So something that's very much within our strategy is as these tools become deployable, to start to look at how and what would be required to make them scalable in terms of available to license, and how we may be able to utilize the group structure that we have within Adshore to potentially host some of those capabilities to manage a licensing-based model. At this moment in time, in terms of the detailed time and effort, we're singularly focused on having deployable tools and maximizing the competitive edge from them. But as we get to each of those stages within the product and project life cycles, then absolutely some of those longer term objectives within the strategy start to come into play.
That's fascinating. Sure, that's something we'll catch up on, Kevin, when we hear a little bit more. But to wrap up now, you're into the first year, or you've finished the first year. It's going to be a 3-year project, so I'm sure there's going to be more to come. So what can investors expect to hear next from Tier Insights?
Well, I think we'd like to be just looking to talk to investors and potential investors of the outcomes of some of the testing. So what are the confidence levels? What additional steps now need to be taken if there's more work to be done? And if we're moving on to further stages of testing, to talk about what that means and what that looks like for eventual deployment. When we talk about it being a 3-year project, what we're not talking about is not having any tools deployed for the 3 years. So I'm comfortable that we should have further news to bring to the market on this matter as we move forwards. And it is, I think, as you touched upon after the last question, quite an exciting time in terms of the development of these tools. So yes. Watch this space.
Certainly will, and I'll personally be keeping an eye out for the next instalment of an update on Tier insights. As I said at the beginning, you know, do check out Adshore's website, because there is a very substantial business behind TIA Insights. It's good to check that out and have a look at some of the customers and clients and work that Adshore are doing to add some context to TIA Insights and the developments there. So Kevin, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.